Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Freedom 106.5 FM is live at the Iron Regency today for the two-day regional symposium addressing crime and violence as a public health issue presented by the CARICOM and the Government of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. Today, we now take you live to announce on site Satyesh Mahabir. Let's see there. Hi, Satyesh.
Good morning to you, Carrie. And also a special good morning to all our listeners coming to you live from the Hyatt Hotel, where we do have the regional symposium, violence as a public health issue, the crime climate. Let's take you across to the podium where we have the opening for it.
CARICOM delegation regional symposium, violence as a health issue, the crime challenge. There's a deep concern from the region's population on the current levels of crime and violence experience, including road rage. I call on the positive energies of the universe, of all faith, beliefs, religion, to come to guide and assist us in this symposium in our attempt to fight away the darkness which is attempting to dominate our region, our schools, our students, our young people, and our nation and mankind. I pray for a positive revolution. I pray for a release. I pray for a renewal. I pray for a rekindling of light, of love, of hope, faith, and spiritual consciousness and understanding. I ask the Almighty, the Omnipotent God, to deliver us from this darkness and great evil, and to continue to help, to bless and keep us, our families, and our communities safe. I pray the leaders of this symposium look at the behavior of some of our young people and analyze this attraction to that life of disorder, crime, and violence. I pray that the symposium also look at the effects, the health of the population from a position of survival, from real poverty, unemployment, lack of education, and determine the reason why some young people perceive the value of human life as being cheap via the use of a gun. I pray that your developmental systematic approach would include some dialogue with the faith-based churches and organizations, which plays an important role in building strong community relation based on a shared value in human dignity, fundamental freedoms, and human rights. In closing, I ask that the positive energies of the universe continue to bless and keep us, our region, protected and peaceful. On behalf of the Interreligious Organization of Trinidad and Tobago, I wish you continued blessings. I wish you well. Have a purposeful regional symposium. Ashe. Thank you.
We invite you to be seated.
That was the opening prayer. We had just before that the national anthem, and the dignitaries made their way into the auditorium just prior to that. We are expecting a two-day symposium that will focus very much on the issue of crime as a public health issue. It's a topic that has generated a lot of discussion, and we take you across to our chair for the day's proceedings.
George, Speaker of the House of Representatives of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. The Honorable Philip Davis, Prime Minister of the Bahamas and Chairman of the Conference of Heads of Government of the Caribbean Community. The Honorable Mia Amor Motley, Prime Minister of the Republic of Barbados. The Honorable Roosevelt Skerritt, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Dominica. The Honorable Deacon Mitchell, Prime Minister of Grenada. The Most Honorable Andrew Holness, Prime Minister of Jamaica. The Honorable Philip J. Pear, Prime Minister of St. Lucia. The Honorable Dr. Terence Drew, Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis. Dr. the Honorable Ralph Gonzalez, Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. The Honorable Brigadier Mark Anthony Phillips, Prime Minister of the Cooperative Republic of Guyana. Her Excellency, Dr. Carla N. Bonnet, Secretary General, CARICOM. The distinguished heads of CARICOM. We acknowledge the presence this morning of His Excellency Serge Leshemy, President of the Collectivity of Martinique. Honorable Ministers of Government, the Honorable Kamla Pisat Bisesa, Leader of the Opposition, Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. Other heads of delegation, Your Excellencies, members of the Diplomatic Corps, judges of the High Court, members of Parliament, heads of international organizations, permanent secretaries and deputy permanent secretaries from the region and from Trinidad and Tobago, commissioners of police from the Caribbean, representatives of the Interreligious Organization of Trinidad and Tobago, representatives of non-governmental organizations, faith-based organizations, and civil society organizations, other specially invited guests, members of the media, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the regional symposium, Violence as a Public Health Issue, the Crime Challenge. Good morning to all, and all those who are also joining this event via broadcast, social media, and video conference platforms. And a very warm and pleasant good morning from the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago. We welcome you all. For the next 2 days, we focus our attention on workable strategies and solutions to addressing violence and crime within the CARICOM region, with the aim of creating a safe Caribbean. Should you find yourself engaged in social media during the deliberations of the next 48 hours, we invite you to use the hashtags #SafeCaribbean and #TheCrimeChallenge. At this time, I invite to deliver welcome remarks Her Excellency Dr. Carla Bonnet, Secretary General of the Caribbean Community. Your Excellency.
Good morning, everyone. All protocols having been established, let me simply welcome Honorable Philip Davis, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and Chairman of the Conference of Heads of Government of CARICOM, and Dr. the Honorable Keith Rowley, Prime Minister of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago and lead head of government with responsibility for crime and security in the CARICOM quasi cabinet, and our host for this important symposium. Ladies and gentlemen, delegates, it is a distinct pleasure to welcome you all this morning as we meet to engage in this pivotal regional symposium on crime and violence as a public health issue. I extend an especially warm welcome to the heads of government who, in spite of their heavy schedules, made the decision to participate in this symposium. This is a clear indication of the gravity of the crime and violence situation in member states and the importance that heads of government attach to finding strategies to effectively address the situation. I also welcome all the delegates, honorable ministers, and representatives from multiple sectors, including our regional institutions, law enforcement, health, education, social development, academia, faith-based, and non-governmental organizations. Warm welcome, too, to the heads of delegations and participants from non-CARICOM countries, such as Colombia, Mexico, and Martinique. I am also very pleased to acknowledge the presence of representatives from several of our many international development partners who have accepted the invitation to participate and collaborate with us on this issue, which is critical to growth and sustainable development of our community. Given the cross-section of participants, I anticipate rich and robust interactions and exchange of views resulting in specific, achievable, remedial, and mitigating outcomes. I express my sincere gratitude to the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, Honorable Keith Rowley, and his government for the excellent arrangements for this symposium. I am also grateful to the interministerial team that has been in charge of preparations for the discussions over the next 2 days. This symposium began as a national undertaking here in Trinidad and Tobago, but it is clear that the rising crime and violence is affecting all of our member states. So the move to expand the frame to give it a regional scope is much appreciated. Heads of government and distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, violence in our region is an epidemic, and like any epidemic, effective strategies to combat the spread require data and research as well as human and financial resources to allow timely implementation of solutions to address the root causes of crime and mitigate the devastating impact of crime and violence on our societies. For the next 2 days, we have an ambitious program of work to help us in that regard. I do look forward to the discussions and the recommendations emanating from this summit. I thank you very much.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, the welcome remarks by Dr. Carla N. Bonnet, Secretary General of the Caribbean Community. And that's exactly what it was, a welcoming address. She described the crime situation as an epidemic. Let's take you across to our chair.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure now to invite to the podium the Honorable Philip Davis, KC, MP, Prime Minister of the Bahamas and Chair of the Caribbean Community, to bring remarks. Prime Minister.
Good morning to all. I stand on the protocol established. I wish to thank you, Prime Minister Rowley, for graciously hosting us all today for such an important discussion. Thank you as well to all heads of government and representatives who have joined us. We have gathered here due to a shared concern about the escalating rates of violence being experienced by member states. This symposium provides us with an opportunity to hold an in-depth discussion about what we can do as a region to develop a holistic approach to violence reduction. There are so many things we love about this Caribbean. Our friendly people and rich cultures are a source of great pride. Millions of travelers from around the world visit us each year just to experience a slice of paradise. We are rightly proud of who we are and the very special places we call home. No matter where we are in the world, we carry our national and regional pride with us. Our identities have been uniquely shaped by a composite of cultural experiences that make us whole. Because we love our country so much, it can be difficult to accept that all of this beauty and joy can coexist with such unprecedented violence. An epidemic of violence grips our nation, one that claims lives and generates fear and anger. In 2022, Jamaica had a staggering homicide rate of 52.9% per 100,000 inhabitants. Trinidad and Tobago had a rate of 39.4% per 100,000. And the Bahamas, St. Lucia, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines all recorded homicide rates above 30%, 30 per 100,000. This is over five times the global average. Millions of people throughout the region live in crime hotspots, never knowing if they will be a victim on any given day. In the Bahamas, I have sought to bring comfort to mothers and their families who have lost their sons and daughters. And I know many of you have done the same for your people. Violence spreads like a virus, gaining momentum as one violent crime begets another. In fact, there is a substantial history of analyzing patterns of violent crime using many of the same references used in epidemiology. Violence is contagious, and those who map the commission of violent crimes find that their data mirrors the spread of infectious diseases within a community. Violence can strike in waves and can grow exponentially. Those who come in close contact with violence are most likely to spread it and most likely to fall victim to it. CARICOM has embraced the view of violence as a public health crisis, requiring comprehensive interventions to battle an epidemic that has claimed far too many lives. As we would with any public health crisis, we must define and monitor the problems, identify the risks and protective factors, and develop mitigation and prevention strategies to halt the epidemic. The discussions we will have throughout this symposium will deepen our understanding and provide us with a foundation from which holistic strategies can be developed. There are already many innovative public and non-profit programs with established track records of success throughout the region. We must continue learning from one another and collaboratively develop data-based violence reduction models. I know I don't have to persuade any of you about the urgency of this work. On a typical day, some estimates suggest that an average of 13 young adults between the ages of 16 to 30 lose their lives to violent crime in our region. Each day that passes is another day in which lives are ended, families are broken by grief and loss, and our communities threatened. We need to mobilize resources with the same determination we would bring to fighting any other life-threatening epidemic. We know that the battle is a complex one. There's a tangle of social, economic, and environmental factors at the heart of this crisis. During these 2 days of deliberation, we must find the resolve to untangle these layered issues. It is not merely a policing or legislative problem, nor is it solely the domain of the courts. While better laws and expanded police capacity are important elements of a successful strategy, we need all hands on deck. Parents, social workers, educators, rehabilitation specialists, social scientists, community workers and activists, religious leaders, and many others must come together to address this pervasive issue. Later today, we will hear from Dr. David Allen, a renowned behavioral psychiatrist who was instrumental in expanding the international understanding of the cocaine and crack cocaine epidemic of the 1980s, which many see as a precursor to the violence we are experiencing today. In his most recent research, he has linked the physical and sexual abuse of children to physical, mental, and psychological illnesses later in life. Many of these children grow up to be the perpetrators and victims of further violence. Dr. Allen concludes in his research that an abused child becomes a dangerous adult. Addressing violent crime requires us to confront these ugly truths about the harm, damage, and broken people can carry forward from generation to generation. But we can't look away. We need to interrupt these cycles of violence. And I believe each of us have valuable perspectives, strengths, and insights to contribute to a more effective set of crime-fighting strategies. Interagency cooperation and regional cooperation are absolutely necessary to address the problem of violence, which exists at the intersection of so many other issues of our countries. CARICOM is committed to fighting violent crime in all forms. There must be zero tolerance for violence against women and children. And there must be more outreach to and support for our at-risk young men. There is considerable research suggesting that a young man who makes it to adulthood without committing a crime is far less likely to become a criminal. Given this trend, it is critical that we provide more support for our boys in their transition to manhood to keep them on a productive and peaceful path. Our most at-risk and vulnerable populations require interventions to meet them where they are, in their homes, communities, churches, and schools, to make a real, meaningful impact. The recent Karifta Games were an excellent example of what our young people can accomplish when given positive avenues for self-exploration and achievement. Recreational, educational, social, and career-related outreach are all needed to appeal to our youth and shield them from the recruitment tactics of neighborhood gangs and drug dealers. We must dedicate resources to collecting data and better understanding crime at the community level to develop more responsive interventions. And we must allocate resources to address the social and economic causes of violence. Violence may be occurring in our communities, but the guns used in approximately 70% of violent crimes do not originate in our countries. We do not manufacture guns in the Caribbean. Every gun used to commit a crime in the Caribbean is smuggled into our countries. In the Bahamas, 98.6% of all recovered illegal firearms can be traced directly to the United States. In Haiti, 87.7% of all recovered firearms can be traced likewise. In Jamaica, it amounts to 67%, and here in Trinidad, 52%. We have asked the U.S. government and U.S.-based gun manufacturers to cooperate with CARICOM member states when it comes to identifying weapons purchased in the U.S. as a part of a wider effort to hold weapons dealers and manufacturers and traffickers accountable for the many lives lost to gun violence each year. We must call on our neighbors to the north to better police the trafficking of guns from the U.S. to the Caribbean. Last month, the Bahamas, along with Antigua and Bermuda, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Trinidad and Tobago, and Mexico, working along with the Latin American and Caribbean Network for Human Security, jointly filed a brief in the United States Court of Appeal in support of the $10 billion lawsuit to hold U.S. gun manufacturers liable for the destruction American-made guns, of course, in our countries. It was an action initiated by the Mexican government. We intend to challenge the laws that previously protected gun manufacturers from lawsuits. We are sending a clear message to the world that we are very serious about fighting gun violence in all forms and all fronts, not just the home front. CARICOM's commitment to regional security is clear. I know that we are here today because we share a determination to work together in unprecedented ways for the good of the region. A powerful example of the strength of a united region could be seen in October 2022, when 19 Caribbean countries participated in a joint operation with Interpol, in which 350 weapons, 3,300 rounds of ammunition, 10 tons of cocaine, and 2.5 tons of marijuana went intercepted. 510 arrests were made as a result. Such collaborative operations must become more frequent if we want to meaningfully impact the inflow of illegal drugs and guns across our borders. The CARICOM Crime and Gun Intelligence Unit was created to strengthen Caribbean and U.S. collaboration in using data and technology to intercept illegal firearms and traffickers. We must fully leverage this partnership so that those who put guns on our streets are stopped and brought to justice. We need to reduce violent crime. The need to reduce violent crime has never been more urgent. Each year, hundreds of lives are at stake, and many more affected by the resulting trauma. This moment of crisis for our region requires a collective response. the impact of violence goes beyond personal loss, as terrible as that is. High levels of sustained violence undermine investor confidence in the region, scare visitors away from tourism-dependent economies, and place a strain on healthcare, educational, and social support systems. If we do not act decisively, our economic prospects will be further eroded by this ongoing wave of violence. As we come together to take on our individual challenges, let us not forget the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Haiti and the need to work together with the Haitian people to stabilize their situation. What happens in Haiti has implications for the entire region, and CARICOM has a duty to provide support in whatever ways we can. I'm hopeful that the discussions we initiate today will serve as a launching pad for the development of impactful interventions and solutions. There are no quick fixes, yet we must act quickly to save our people from this epidemic. Each day that goes by, precious lives are lost. We can take steps toward reversing that trend starting today. By facing this crisis head on and leveraging the unique resources and expertise of each member state, we can make a lasting positive impact on the lives of our citizens and ensure a brighter future for our Caribbean region. Thank you.
That, of course, ladies and gentlemen, the chairman's remarks, chair of CARICOM, Prime Minister of the Bahamas, as King's Counsel Philip Davis, giving us some pretty interesting statistics about crime trends in the region and justifying the decision to treat it in the manner in which CARICOM has decided. Take you back to our chair.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome now to deliver the welcome address, the Prime Minister of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago and Chair with responsibility for energy and security at the CARICOM level, Dr. the Honorable Keith Christopher Rowley.
Dr. Rowley, of course, being welcomed to the podium, is making his way there. The crowd is taking their seats. We expect Dr. Rowley to begin delivering the welcome address momentarily.
Thank you very much, Wendell. I hope, with your permission, to make the last full acknowledgement of the protocols. It would be not satisfactory if I, as your host, did not recognize, with your permission, the Honorable Philip Davis, Prime Minister of Bahamas and Chairman of the Conference of Heads of Government of the Caribbean Community, Prime Ministers, all my colleagues from the Caribbean Community, the Honorable Chief Justice, Mr. Justice Ivor Archie, ORTT, Chief Justice of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, Honorable Bridget Anicet George, Speaker of the House of Representatives of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, Dr. Carla N. Barnett, Secretary General of CARICOM, His Excellency Serge Lechmi, President of the Collectivity of Martinique, Honorable Ministers, other heads of delegations, Leader of the Opposition, Your Excellencies, members of the Diplomatic Corps, Judges of the High Court, Members of Parliament, Heads of International Organizations, Permanent Secretaries and Deputy Permanent Secretaries from the region and from Trinidad and Tobago, Commissioners of Police of the Caribbean, Representatives of the Inter-Religious Organization of Trinidad and Tobago, Representatives of the non-governmental faith-based organizations as well as civil society organizations, other specially invited guests, members of the media, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. fellow Caribbean leaders, peoples of the Caribbean, from Mexico to Suriname, welcome. Welcome to this symposium, this unique exchange of experiences and perspectives among the people of the Caribbean. This morning, we, the many components of Caribbean leadership, stand here as a collective body, speaking to and with you, the whole of the Caribbean, above all, in our geographical, social, racial, religious, economic, and democratic complexities and diversity. This is a truly historic moment. What brings us here is not that diversity. It is not the usual command gathering to deal with trade, education, finance, tourism, health, or diplomacy. We have assembled here in this unity of purpose to confront a problem, one that is common and threatening to every aspect of every individual's life in the Caribbean. The founding fathers of this great Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, Dr. Eric Eustace Williams, standing before a similar audience at the signing of the Treaty of Chaguaramas in 1973, noted that, and I quote, "All of us here today are genuine representatives of the Caribbean with a common history based on the Caribbean Trinity, colonialism, monoculture, and racism, the symbols of fragmentation and isolation of one territory from another," unquote. He added that there could be no Caribbean dispensation, no Caribbean future, which does not truly mean the integration of the peoples of the region and their economies. Dr. Williams then referred to what he described as, quote, "a larger aspiration," unquote, a larger purpose, advising that the Caribbean's strength is in its union and that the Caribbean's danger is in its discord. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, leaders of the Caribbean, we are here to address an aspect of that larger aspiration that Dr. Williams spoke of, displaying our union of purpose, and hopefully, we are all fully aware of the dangers that await us in this discord. As we are now well into the 21st, God will show that for all of the new era, we have continued to be haunted by violence from the domestic quarters at home, to our schoolyards, to our streets, and our borders. In short, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, violence is threatening to destroy our paradise in the Caribbean Sea. This is not to say that we have not been struggling to cope with this truth. On the contrary, we have been. But if we are not careful, its stubbornness and metastasizing malignancy could overrun and overwhelm us. Violence in the Caribbean is a public health emergency which threatens our lives, our economies, our national security, and by extension, every aspect of our well-being. In Trinidad and Tobago, in the years 2011 to 2022, we have lost and have had to grieve for 5,439 lives lost to violent murder, largely through the use of imported firearms and ammunition. In 2011, we lost 352 lives. And by 2022, the annual count was over 600, a new record, already being challenged by the murder rate for 2023. Except for COVID in a pandemic, none of the listed dangerous diseases have taken lives like this in our population. For the thousands of wounded victims and perpetrators alike, a surgical intervention to the head costs $170,000. A surgical intervention for a chest wound would cost about $155,000. A shot to the leg requiring surgical intervention would cost approximately $100,000. And a leg shot without surgical intervention could easily cost $40,000. All of this before you leave the hospital, and that in medical care and attention. All of these are frequent daily incurred costs, and they are to be borne by taxpayers at every level, from scarce revenues diverted from other more deserving productive priorities. Our current laws acknowledge a suite of afflictions such as yellow fever, smallpox, plague, cholera, Ebola, novel coronavirus as notifiable, warranting emergency responses if even only a few cases are known to appear. Violent behavior, violent crime involving the use of firearms, the associated individual and group mental health trauma accompanying violent behavior, so ever present amongst us now, pose a far greater destructive threat than these diseases, and on that basis alone qualifies violence as a public health emergency in our country and throughout the curriculum. During the last 15 years, using the Trinidad and Tobago example, in the growing quest for safety and security, we have seen a significant increase in the allocation in the national budget for national security. In 2008, policing alone represented 32% of the $4 billion national security budget. By 2017, that rose to 38%. Even in the tighter budgetary environment of 2023, policing still now accounts for 43% of the national security allocation. In the political arena, some believe it's all about having the right national security minister. Others share the epiphany of separating the Ministry of National Security into fragments of Homeland Security and Defense. Wish it was that simple. In fact, Trinidad and Tobago's own experience put those theories to the test. In recent years, we, Trinidad and Tobago, had 10 ministers of national security sourced from career politicians, including that of prime minister, the military, and the private sector. One administration, PNM, had one minister who served for 7 unbroken years grappling with the upsurge of violent crime and insufficiency of policing. A succeeding administration, the UNC, in a 5-year term, had 5 national security ministers with junior assistants, with tenure ranging from a few months each to 2 years. This current administration, PNM, has had 3 ministers in 8 years. And the one indisputable fact in all these musical chairs is that the violence has not abated. It has in many instances increased and become even more cynical. Clearly, the problem does not exist and grow because of a shortage of ministers or even ministerial output. This forum has been long in coming. Recently, CARICOM heads of government began looking at rising crime and violence in the region as a public health issue, with commitments to mount a symposium as this in 2019. But all the efforts were understandably displaced and delayed by the coming of COVID-19. It's against this background that when Trinidad and Tobago announced its intention to have its own national discourse, and our Caribbean neighbors gladly agreed to join in, that we had no hesitation in making room for widest participation. But having done so, we are all here today. And you must remember, as Booker T and the MGs say, time is tight. So let us all very conscientiously make the most of it in small doses as we speak, listen and absorb in preparation to fight this demon. Ladies and gentlemen, just look at media reports. They appear to be telling us that across the region, territories are under siege from the acts of crime and violence from elements of our own society. Just minorities who are today creating larger atmospheres of fear, despondency, trauma, surrender, and hopelessness among all of us. This is a battle in which we must all be engaged. This is a war that we cannot afford to lose. In this engagement, governments are open to uncomplimentary charges of, some say, indifference, others say impotence, unimaginative planning, discrimination, abdication of duties, poor leadership, and with the repeated calls for resignations. Old talk is cheap. We know that, but let us try and extract some light from the expressions of the next 2 days, in the fervent hope and expectation that the beast of violence, which has stalked us for virtually all our existence in this blue Caribbean sea, will be starved of its sustenance, condemned to wither and die, so that we all may live in peace, safety, and harmony, from the home to the streets, from the schools to the borders. Our presence here is admission that crime and violence are now a major part of the Caribbean's overall plethora of problems, ranging from petty theft to school violence, home invasion, domestic violence, sexual abuse, human trafficking, drive-by shootings, drug gang warfare, mindless daily revenge murders, and the list continues. When such a situation arrives at the door, it is said that there was a failure of the society to spot the oncoming crisis. Then there may be later failure to perceive the extent of that arrived situation as a societal problem. Further, there may be problems of finding solutions and whether the solutions selected may even succeed. Today, if there's one aspect that we all may be guilty of, is that the problem of criminality and violence was not dealt with sufficiently in a much earlier time frame. In the homes, in the schools, in the prisons, in the courts, and I dare say, in the parliaments. There was what can be described as, quote, a creeping normalcy, unquote. We allowed slow, moderate, deviant behavioral trends to increase. We allowed slips in our age-old standards, in ethical and moral norms in our family homes, in our schools, in public institutions, on our roads, and in public places. All of which, hindsight reminds us, that we should have checked very early. Instead, we seem to have been saying that these times are different. This is the age of American gun culture. As we adopt the internet revolution with its tremendous promises and all its warts, an age of selfish individualism has been allowed to flourish at the expense of the society itself. So morals and values are now considered flexible. Their lines are blurred, and they occupy spheres of their own, determined and shaped by one's personal whims, the present, fashionable social trends, and worse, the political and bureaucratic shortcomings of something malleable called the system. So over the next 2 days, Caribbean people, helped by inputs from cross-sections of the Caribbean citizenry, we'll attempt to address the full scale of the problems of crime and violence in the context of a public health issue. Hopefully, there will be elements of operational consensus after the planned examination and exchanges, which will form a plan of action that will give the Caribbean people their much-needed assurance that something beyond talk, will be done. Using the same planned, programmed, and strategic methods that were adopted to confront the deadly challenges of COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome to the Twin Islands of Trinidad and Tobago. And I pray that as we have done here in our constitution in Trinidad and Tobago, that we recognize the Almighty's presence throughout all our deliberations. Finally, I must assure you that the Caribbean peoples, in spite of our circuitous history, we have evolved and continue to stand strong today. May Almighty God continue to bless us with success. Thank you.
That is Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley delivering the welcome address. His lead head with responsibility for energy and security in CARICOM, and of course Trinidad and Tobago hosting this forum here, allows the Prime Minister to speak about some of the challenges. This began, remember, as a national symposium that would have been held with Trinidad and Tobago alone, and it has been expanded to include CARICOM because of the challenges that are and the similarities across the region. It has only just begun what is going to be, according to the program here, a very, very interesting 2 days of discussions. The program says that after these initial opening remarks that we will move into in the forum, violence in the region, a roundtable discussion on that, and then later on they will have violence as a public health issue, the crime challenge, and it goes on to outline for today all that is to take place this afternoon, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Jamaica's Prime Minister Andrew Holness will be speaking about transnational organized crime challenges with small arms and light weapons in Latin America and the Caribbean. And later on, we have Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, lead head with responsibility for transport, speaking about the economic perspective on crime and violence, and then a social perspective on crime and violence. So there's a lot more to be discussed here. Well, today is just the first day of this two-day symposium, but this is where we drop a live coverage of what's taking place, and we take you back to our studio. The discussions are going to continue as we hear all the information that comes out of the conference and is going to be discussed in the various programs on Freedom 106.5 FM. And more interestingly, tomorrow, the Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Rowley, is expected to present what comes out of this conference, and that is going to political statement of commitment for crime prevention that comes from Dr. Rowley tomorrow afternoon. This is where we drop the curtains. As I said, we take you back to our studios and continue the programming. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Satish. And guys, welcome back. It's Freedom 106.5 FM. And you can join us right here for the live broadcast on day one of the two-day regional symposium addressing crime and violence as a public health issue today. And it's all happening at the High-End Regency. The symposium presented by CARICOM and the Government of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, as they seek to promote dialogue and regional action aimed at violence reduction and crime prevention. And of course, you can join our host, Satish Mahabir. He will be live on location to provide you with expert commentary and up-to-minute updates. Don't miss it right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. This is where you speak your mind.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.